Welcome. Welcome to this body. A podcast about being in a body during 2025. Running from a fire that destroyed my neighborhood, facing the reality that my city is fucked. Maybe really, truly moving to the desert full time for a while. Sun keeps shining, the new cycle moves forward, but the body keeps the score. I'm your host, Sophia, traumatized Altadena resident out here in the haunted desert community of Yucca Valley, adjacent to Joshua Tree National Park, feeling the weight of a thousand losses and the gratitude of a survivor. The immense gratitude I have inside my soul for the gift of living in Altadena in her final years as we knew her then. I'm sure people will rebuild, but what we had is lost forever. Something new will emerge from these ashes. Some freaky new phoenix will rise up. Yeah, who knew? Who knew? Not me. None of us could have known that the night that we went to sleep, or did not go to sleep, as the case may be, on, I think it was the 6th. Was it the 6th? I think so. That would be the very last time Altadena stood as she was. That would be evacuated in the dark, with winds screaming in all directions, and very shortly thereafter, watching horror online as everything burnt. Our beautiful mountain town, irreplaceable, gone in the night. I remember the first update I saw from somebody saying, Altadena is gone. I did not understand, compute, wrap my head around that at all. And yet it is gone. It is. Well, as for me and the pets are adjusting pretty well, kind of. I think the animals are doing better than I am. The desert house really suits the cats in their senior years. It's sunny all day, and they have high ceilings and views, and they're never going outside again. So this house works better for that. I no longer have to worry about my babies going outside and getting eaten by coyotes. I bought them Apple AirTags, and right now I'm just jostling for space on my own couch because they are hogging the higher dose mat. It's cold out here today. The winds are howling on the mesa. But we're safe. We're safe and sound. My house here is such a blessing. A blessing is kind of like luck meeting opportunity. So really, really glad that I bought this place when I did. And I love it out here. It's just, it's not where I was. This is going to be home. I feel like rooted to the soil and the horses, not yet the community. It remains to be seen if I can find my niche in this part of the desert full time. Well, you know, I don't actually have much of a choice, really. But after this morning's local workout class that I attended, I'm feeling a little bit scared. I had to cancel my membership at B Pilates in Pasadena. I cried because that place, I would not be surprised if it is literally the best Pilates studio in the world. It is so streamlined. It's just epically awesome. The teachers are amazing. It's chic. It's like, oh, so good for my brain. Just switch off and be in the hands of somebody who knows what they're doing, doesn't need to put their hands on me to teach a class. Unlike this lady today and other people at this place that I've been going to classes at over the last week, this lady didn't even ask me today if I if it was okay to touch or not. At least the others have. When I have said no, they simply don't hear what I say because evidently they're unable to teach an exercise class without manhandling the lump of flesh in front of them. Ugh. Today's lady asked what was bothering me. I told her about my, just the traumas, the scoliosis, all of that jazz. She told me that scoliosis is about my fascia, which is incorrect. It's a genetic spinal condition that is, of course, made more pronounced by muscle and fascia tissue over time, wrapping around it and then pulling in other directions. Okay. Then all the women in the class started talking about calling in the weather, doing spells to call in weather, talking about being witches, very loud in a very small room early in the morning. The woman kept manhandling me throughout class, touching my head. Jesus Christ. Honestly, teachers who can't teach without touching have a fucking problem. She didn't even ask permission. And yeah, it's just dinosaur behavior. I don't want to be touched. Do not touch me. What the fuck is the issue there? These people, they need to get trauma informed for fuck's sake. Anyway, I have one more class paid for, and that will mark the end of that. I felt a little bit better after I got a coffee at Joshua Tree Coffee. Ugh. All the Trump news. I mean, what a disgusting month this has been. As I went back to my place in Altadena a week ago to grab some things, and as I was driving back out to the desert, somewhere near like Beaumont or Banning, one of those places in San Bernardino, these people had like gotten up that morning and gotten their signs together and made a day of standing on the freeway overpass waving a sign that said, "Trump returning in 3 days, payback's coming." Okay. Do these people not have jobs to go to? I found out via Reddit that it's just like the same group of tools who pop up here and there. Yeah, there's idiots everywhere. This is a really whack time in history. But, you know, if you listen to the women in my workout class today, it's an amazing time. We're all going to reach our full potential in 2025. Get fucked. I was thinking of going back to LA again today to check my mail and get more things, but upon standing up, I just decided I can't do it. I'll wait till Monday or Tuesday after the rains that may possibly come and soak the toxic ground. Once so verdant and beautiful. I will go back next week after this rain. Hopefully that'll make things feel a little bit less cursed. David Lynch passed away. How do I even begin? Well, maybe I'll do an episode on my love for David someday, but for now, before we get into this episode, which is on the topic of aparigraha, letting go, non-hoarding, non-possessiveness, in this, the sixth installment of Yoga Ethics for Modern Living, let's listen to the song that keeps playing in my head since David passed. I was 11 years old when Twin Peaks came out. My best friend, Laura, lived up the street, and back in those days, I'd watch Twin Peaks at her house and then walk home, or rather run, because I was terrified, about a 20-minute walk home in the dark, petrified that Bob was going to get me with his death bag. And from then on, my spiritual world, my artistic views have been guided by David all the way to the present day. Thanks to David Lynch, I have a meditation practice, and I have some semblance of an artist's life in many fortunate and wonderful ways. Here's to Sir With Love by Lulu.
I know they will still live on and on. But how do you thank someone who has taken you from crayons to perfume? It is.
Rest in peace, David. I hope wherever you are, the birds sing a pretty song and there's always music in the air. Yeah, January 2025. Talk about a time of loss and gratitude. A very forceful wrench from the past to the future. You know, it's all so involuntary. And I think it's just amazing that it's at this time that we're now up to a parigraha in our yamas and niyamas exploration. Because a parigraha is about holding life's experiences in the open palm of your hand, non-grasping. What we try to hold on to, what we try to possess, ends up possessing us. We build homes, we fill them with things. We transport those things from place to place, sometimes paying for storage. When I came over to America, I didn't expect to be moving here. I put my things in storage. I had 6 months in the States that ended up becoming the next 10 years. And I had all these things in storage in New Zealand. And during the pandemic, I finally decided, well, I sort of realized that I did actually live in America. I'd been there for 7 years at that point. So I figured, okay, I guess I'll get my stuff over here. And when it arrived, there were some cool things like some good art, some good furniture, family photos, lots of important things, but also like so much trash. Tons of office supplies. I mean, actually, they've come in pretty handy, but all the clothes, and there were a lot of clothes. I would say I kept maybe 5 pieces of clothing. Everything went. My taste had changed so dramatically. I haven't worn a high heel in years and was suddenly presented with this really, I mean, admittedly gorgeous collection of shoes, but that's not me anymore. It's something interesting about the whole experience of having my things in storage and living out of a suitcase for like years and years, because I was in some denial that I was in a place and staying there. I had this life, I used to talk about it like I was in my Jesus era, just having very little. And then to be reminded of my whole life all at once, it was very intense. But I mean, I think that might just be my life's journey. It's fucking intense. That's a very pronounced expression of what I'm talking about, you know, we pay for storage, we put things away so that they're sort of out of sight, out of mind, but they're still costing us something. And we do it with people and our relationships too. Holding on to things is heavy. We have this baggage, suitcases full of expectations and unforgiven moments and resentments. And it just seems like that's the way it goes in life. Like you just accumulate more and more of this emotional baggage. And yet we can't expect to have healthy relationships if we just agree with the idea that we can't undo that, that we can't unpack that baggage, that we can't unpack our way all the way to God or freedom. So we carry these things on our backs, literally and figuratively. We're only human. We attach. We love to attach to things. When we fall in love, we want to nail that down like forever. Hence the marriage contract, which is beautiful, but nothing more than a fervent hope. The word attachment comes from the root word to nail, nailing something to a wall, forbidding it or them to change, to leave. So the spiritual work of aparigraha, the spiritual value of non-possessiveness, it is very demanding. When we experience something beautiful like being in union with a lover, or the perfect chocolate or a really great hot dog, make mine vegan, we want that thing to always serve us in the same way. During the pandemic, I went crazy, as I think we all did. And I decided I was going to order this chocolate that was expensive and I was going to have it delivered to me all the time. I was listening to a really weird podcast at the time where the hosts were paying for things like a vibes service, like $30 for people to just transmit positive vibes to your house, like literally just paying $30 for nothing. And they were also really into water. And I also got really into sparkling water, and I had this favorite that was so expensive, but at the time I was like, I'm buying this really expensive chocolate, I'm having this really expensive water. I mean, no regrets, honestly, but the thing about the chocolate was that the luxury lost its sheen as I overindulged. I should have had that Tom Bumble once a week with a nice cup of coffee instead of every night in a crumbly stoned haze in bed. I mean, no regrets, like I said. But we want to hold on to good moments. We never want to let them go. I've been thinking a lot about Octavia Butler. I think a good amount of people in LA who read and know of Octavia Butler are also thinking about her. She was a Pasadena resident. She walked my street every day as she was writing her book, Parable of the Sower. Afrofuturist sci-fi novelist, prophet. I have a picture of her cut out from a magazine and stuck up on the wall of my kitchen. And I just felt like she was a good luck charm. I feel like part of her got me out of that fire that night. She wrote about this fire that we just had. She died a long time ago. She foresaw this happening and she wrote this really crazy story about the future and the sort of decline of civilization. It's just like crazy out there, fires everywhere. And at the center of the story is this girl who comes up with her own religion. I can't remember what it's called now. It has a name, like, I can't remember. But the focus, like the one commandment, if you will, is God is change. God is change. That's the whole of the law. Around the corner from my house is a black-owned bookshop called Octavia's Bookshelf. They have transformed themselves into a community outreach service for the people of Altadena and Pasadena. It's a beautiful and trippy story. If you haven't read Parable of the Sower, I highly recommend it. I've read it twice. It gives me chills. God is change. And we know this to be true. If you repeat that a few times, you know that's true. And we know that that is hard. It's so harsh. It's so hard. But if we just look at our breath which measures our lifetime, it's our real lifetime, not the clock ticking, not the hours passing, not the algorithm or the energy that information, the speed with which information comes at us. Our breath is our lifetime. That's the true measure of our lives. So we inhale, pause, exhale fully. Pause. The empty space at the top and the bottom is when we're in a place of trust. That, yes, in order to receive the inhale, we have to exhale. And to receive the life-giving oxygen, we must inhale from there. And on and on and on until this lifetime is over. We don't control it. How can we live our lives fully engaged and loving deeply without getting attached? Doesn't getting attached mean that you care? That's one of the riddles of life, right? With attachment comes projection, comes expectation. So, you know, you may be like very in love with somebody, very attached, projecting all over them. When they come to you with a problem, instead of being fully present with what is, there can be different kinds of behavior that come off us because we might be trying to solve the problem, or we don't like to hear that that is something that is afflicting this person. That is why attachment is not great, because of the way it reflects back on us. Watching the breath is the best advice I have on how to manage attachments. And often attachments just happen unconsciously because we're people, we're humans, we're made up of flesh and blood and hopes and dreams. But you never want to be so addicted to anything that you'll hold on to it even when it hurts you to do so. Like people, places, things, food, the entirety of this whole thing called life. All of it. It's all just petals on the wind. Inhale. Exhale. We get attached unconsciously a lot to things that do nourish us, like our homes, our communities. We find ourselves inadvertently attached. And then we might start imposing our will, our opinions, criticisms, holding on too tightly to things that want to move, want to change. Holding on tight makes things toxic. And really, what a parigraha is all about is free play, spontaneous intimacy with the moment, a full contact experience with what is. Everything changes. God is change. Yeah, it's really hard. That's why we're not God. There is so much mystery to this life. How to handle the seasons of our lives, how to grow our skills, our adhikara in yoga. Shit, you can't even trust the fucking seasons now, thanks to global warming. So it is no wonder that our struggle is a real one. Struggle is real and we fuck up all the time. Just got to keep on getting back on that. No, don't get back on the horse. Don't ride the horse. Some other metaphor. Get back on your bike. Pedal, you whore. Maybe on the next bonus episode on Patreon, I'll give some reflections on the fire and where I think my own lessons lie with a parigraha and that. That's pretty personal. So You might have to pay a couple of bucks to hear that one. If you like this show, you should join me over on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/thisbodypodcast and join up for extra body. You'll get early access to episodes, 2 bonus episodes a month, random drops here and there, and access to old seasons. Parigraha is also about our self-image, as most of these yogic principles are or have a limb in the nature of self and the ways that we define ourselves. Makes me think of Joan Didion, that old chestnut. She talked about remaining on nodding terms with our younger selves, our previous selves, but with an acknowledgement of how we change quite dramatically over the course of our lives. Our penchants for certain things change. Our style evolves and changes, like I discovered when I unpacked box after box of completely irrelevant clothing that I had in storage for 7 years. Our values shift. It's pretty nifty being a changeling, and we have to do it. Resistance is futile, though often you see people who are resisting. Most people, let's be honest, are resisting change. You see people who are living in fragmented realities, like all their parts aren't gathered together as one. I often start my yoga classes by inviting people to land on their mat, like little aliens crashing to earth, and then taking some time to let all the parts of the self settle and sit and arrange themselves and get organized. Inhale. Exhale. And that's how you do it. You just breathe. Holding on creates a maintenance problem, a storage problem. The things we buy, the stuff we hold on to, it all takes up real estate that we have to pay for. And money is too tight to mention. So, you know that Dolly Parton song, "Life is like a butterfly"? Well, you can't strap a bunch of suitcases onto the wings of a butterfly and expect to get off the ground, let alone to fly and float through the nectar of the flowers that live up higher and lighter than us down here on the earth. Babes, if you enjoy this podcast, be sure to rate, share, and subscribe. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And you can find me at Sophia Forever, the pods on IG too. Thanks, Tiger. Another thing is that we all have these ideas, be they subtle or overt, about how life is and how life should be. But if we really think about that and sit with it, we don't have a clue how life ought to be beyond faith and hope. But like marriage, faith, hope, ethics, and our ability to be flexible. But we don't even know for sure if life is random or if it's more like the butterfly effect or a totally predetermined situation by an omnipotent God or a combination of all of it. We don't know. I suspect that at the end of our lives and the dying process, we will get a bigger glimpse of the mystery. But in the here and now, we do not know. So that's actually one thing that we can just liberate ourselves of right now, today. That life is a certain way. That things should be a certain way. Maybe this is a simulation and we're in the matrix, but I doubt it. Inhale. Exhale. Exhaling with a little bit of sound helps to release stress, soothes the nervous system. So just as having a house full of clutter and garbage makes moving around impossible, makes home really suck, if you can't move around joyfully with freedom, so too does having a grasping and cluttered mind. I'll say that there's a hell of a lot of people in America right now with cluttered, noisy, hoarding minds. Ugh, it's so gross here right now. You know, I've always said that in order to understand the world, you have to understand America, because so many of our dreams come from the Hollywood mythos, and our economy is founded on capitalism, and there's like a really freaky marriage between those two things. And nowhere expresses this more literally and with more volume than America. I've been here a decade now, and I do feel I understand America now. America is hogtied to a broken system that needs a massive shot of a paragraha right now. Stat! A swami from some book I read said, "Love is what is left when you let go of all the things you love." Word. And Octavia Butler said it even clearer. God is change. Nothing lasts forever, babe. Least of all this episode. Let's go out on the chaotic riot of Jim Morrison and the Doors. Here's The Changeling.